The secret to a great life is to figure out how to have a great day, a great week, a great month, and just repeat that over and over and over again.
The only person you need to be better than is the person you used to be.
Welcome back to Your Great Life Game Plan. I'm Dr. Scott Little, and with me in this session is my gorgeous wife, Karen, with pink hair like you've never seen before. Unbelievable. Yeah, I'd probably call it raspberry. Health is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, not merely the absence of disease or infirmity. On this show, we talk about the principles of aging gracefully, aging well, fitness, fat burning, nutrition, stress and weight management, all sorts of things that might go into your game plan or strategy for a healthy life. Well, Karen, you do indeed have the brightest, most raspberry hair I think I've ever seen in my life on somebody who's not wearing a wig, and you got a lot of comments on it today, huh?
I did. A lot of people like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go.
And
okay, I'm not real sure how to respond to that, but your hair is more pink than I've ever seen it.
And it
well,
it'll take time.
Well, okay. Well, we've got time. But this week we are doing something extra special. We are going to Nashville, Tennessee. Why?
We are going to the Dan Miller Conference.
Absolutely. Coaching with excellence. Now, a lot of people may not know who Dan Miller is, author of the book 48 Days to the Work That You Love, and has the 48 Days podcast. He is a business and professional coach, an entrepreneur's coach, constantly referenced by his good friend, Dave Ramsey. So sometimes people have heard of Dan Miller by listening to the Dave Ramsey show. But he and his family put on an amazing 2-day event at their farm called The Sanctuary in Franklin, Tennessee, for people who want to learn more about the coaching profession and whatever their niche is. In our case, health, fitness, nutrition, functional health, those types of things, the things we talk about here. And so we are truly excited and blessed to be able to get to go to this event later on in the week. So you having a good week?
I am. Oh gosh, it's very good.
It's been busy at the gym. Students are coming back and sighting lots of people up.
You know, interestingly enough, even though we don't get a tremendous number of students, this time of year is just about as busy for us as say a January, February would be. So you know, we are very busy. I was at the gym until about 45 minutes after staff hours ended because we had somebody come in, and you know, it makes it worth it because you know that by investing your time, staying after hours, not being upset about it, you know, investing my time in that person is helpful to them because they see that, you know, we truly care about what they're doing by investing in themselves. So, yeah.
Awesome. Hey, so I was on Facebook the other day and saw someone had reposted a video of J.J. Virgin's. J.J. Virgin has written a couple of books, The Virgin Diet, which is an elimination diet. She's really good at helping people to eliminate foods that might be creating inflammation, certainly sugar, oftentimes eggs, dairy, different things like that, going off of them and then perhaps reintroducing them back into your body and seeing how they affect you. And then she has a book on the sugar elimination diet. She's got a lot of great stuff, but she had a list of 5 foods that you should be eating to increase your metabolism and maximize your fat burning. And so, well, I went ahead and clicked.
You tried to find the video to show me, and then you couldn't find it.
couldn't find the video, but I found the blog post that was basically the transcript of the video. So, you know, I basically watched the video or then read the blog post to see how many of these foods that she recommends are a part of our daily consumption. And the first one is something that is very, very easy to do and something that I like to do, but something I don't do nearly often enough, and that is lemon water or even just a few tablespoons of lemon in your water, in your sparkling water, even over your fish or so forth. But I've heard there's a I actually have a blog post at drscottlittle.com on the idea of doing a 30-day lemon water. It's a challenge whereby you would just drink maybe 16 ounces or so of lemon water every morning, first thing out of bed. And that is supposed to rehydrate you, really wake up your organs, stimulate digestion, and have a lot of health benefits. And a lot of folks that have done this quote-unquote 30-day lemon water challenge have just reported all sorts of different improvements in maybe their bowel function and bladder function and energy levels and a variety of things. And so food number one that JJ recommended was some warm water and lemon, or even just some lemon water in whatever temperature water that you might. Well, a couple tablespoons. So which would... Yeah, well, I wouldn't get that lemon. Yeah, well, that I'd much rather see us get good lemons and squeeze the juice, although we had done that, and I just had to throw away a bag of moldy lemons because we hadn't been using them. But I don't know. I'd have to see what the ingredients are in that lemon thing. Of course, they're not on there because it comes in a plastic lemon. It is organic? Oh, it is? Oh, well, good. Good for you. Two points for you. Food number two, cinnamon.
We drink cinnamon in our coffee.
Well, we do put cinnamon. We put cinnamon in our coffee every morning. And cinnamon, as she says, is a delicious spice that helps balance your blood sugar and improves insulin sensitivity. It's also a little sweet, so hopefully you can get away. Of course, you put stevia in your coffee, so there's nothing wrong with that, but certainly people that are trying to eliminate sweeteners in their coffee, cinnamon is a great thing to add. Yep. Absolutely. Well, you know, let's take an aside, how do we make our coffee? We consume a tremendous amount of nutrition in the morning just in the form of our coffee. You know, we first learned about bulletproof coffee and that whole movement of putting healthy fats in your coffee. And, you know, our coffee just about every morning is essentially the same. It has some good grass-fed, unpasteurized butter that we steal from our cats because we're not allowed to consume it or buy it unless we're buying it for our dog or our cat. And so we put butter in there. We put some coconut oil. We put some almond butter, as you said, some cinnamon. And then the last thing that we've been putting in there is the collagen, peptides that we get from Thrive Market. And you can't taste that at all, but it adds some collagen and protein in there. And the key to all this coffee is that you've got to blend it. You cannot just stir it, or you've got greasy, nasty coffee. But using our Cuisinart stir stick that my sister gave me for Christmas a few years ago, that I thought was the most worthless present on the planet until I used it one day, and then I haven't not used it a day ever since then. It's the best present ever, and now I give gave your mother one, and our mother, my mother.
Well,
we gave our mothers. I was thinking of my Christy and me. We share a mother. That's how we're brother and sister. So anyway, that's how we make our coffee every morning, and so we get a tremendous amount of nutrition just in our coffee. Kefir was the next one on the list. Well, yeah, specifically she's talking about dairy kefir. Well, she's talking about kefir that's either made with raw goat's milk or coconut milk. We used to make that, and the grains, I think, I don't know what happened to them, but they didn't do so well. So, but I'd like to start making some more because we have access to good goat's milk, and they sell kefir grains at the local co-op, and I'd like to start making some of that. You know, the kefir's great. It's if you don't know what kefir is, it's sort of like yogurt or buttermilk. I really like the plain stuff. It comes in pomegranate and blueberry and chocolate and all of those different flavors that taste awesome, but as anything, you know, flavored yogurt or something, you just got to really watch the amount of sugar and so forth that's in there. But kefir is something that I strongly encourage people to learn how to make on their own and have on a regular basis. It's a cultured or fermented food, so lacto-fermented, probably loads of probiotics and so forth. Yeah. Well, yes, but there may be different strains of healthy probiotics in one versus another. I can't answer that. I could look it up and report back on a later session, because I don't know the difference there. But, you know, all of these different processes are different types. You know, using either what are called kefir grains, which is a it's like a SCOBY that is used in kombucha tea, a symbiotic relationship between yeast and bacteria. And the kefir grains are just a little bit different, I don't know, strain of yeast and bacteria or what. Of course, you know, those are for the coconut kefir or the dairy kefir. And then there are different types of grains that would be used to make the kefir water, like what you were talking about, what you thought you were going to be consuming for dinner tonight when I gave you beet kvass, and oops, sorry about that. The fourth one that made her list was cayenne pepper, not probably a part of your diet, but boost your metabolism, and she had some ideas for putting cayenne, pardon me, I belched. Belched our beet kvass. She had an idea of putting some cayenne pepper in her morning smoothie or shake, that she has a chocolatey shake with avocado in it. And I could see how that could be good to put a little bit of it in your shake. That wouldn't be the worst thing. It would you, because you're highly sensitive to... Nope, anaphylactic shock, paramedics, Ducky from NCIS, you know. Yeah. So the last thing on the list was coconut oil and coconut milk, which in my opinion are two totally different things, but we basically consume those every single day. We put coconut oil in our coffee, as we just said, every day, and coconut milk we typically put in our shakes. I've seen a lot of references that might indicate that the coconut milk that we get and put in our shake might be better for us than the coconut, or rather the almond milk that we get. We never use dairy, really. But if you went into our refrigerator right now, I think you'd find some cashew milk, some flax milk, some almond milk, and the coconut milk. Well, we may not, but on any given day, we would. Yeah, so those were foods. I just thought the list was interesting to compare and see how many of them we're getting on a daily basis. And basically, just about everything except for the cayenne pepper. And so that's good. So earlier this week, personal trainer at Anytime Fitness, our friend Lacey, asked you the difference between probiotics and prebiotics. And how did that conversation come up?
She was asking, Becca, Lacey's an intern, she is a personal trainer, but she was our intern for the summer. So she really enjoyed having conversations about nutrition, learning a lot of that, because there's a lot of things that they don't get in school that you were able to teach her. So
or they get it from the standard issue FDA food pyramid government, and that's antiquated.
So she's wanting to learn as much as she can in an effort to help any of the clients that she gets to the max she loved picking your brain. And she asked me one day, she's like, you know, she's like, I've been hearing a lot of about prebiotics versus probiotics. What can you tell me about that? And I said, you know, Lacey, I said, I know there's a difference. I know they're both vital and important, but I don't know exactly how to answer your question. Let me call Scott. I know for a fact that he would be able to answer this question. And after talking to you for just a few minutes, she hung up the phone and she said, your husband is one of the most knowledgeable people and smartest guys I know. She said, I expected him to go off on this really long answer, and he was able to summarize it, give me not only what the difference is, but where I, sources of both pre and probiotics. So she said, I absolutely think that your husband is the smartest guy I've ever talked to.
Well, I think she's wrong, but maybe that she's talked to. Maybe she hasn't talked to anybody. I will.
I backed her up on that. I said, you know, he is extremely intelligent. You can ask him a question, and if he doesn't know the answer, he will go find the answer. And not just research the answer to your basic question, but be able to give you resources.
Did you write down what I have to go research, the yogurt kefir thing? Okay, well, please do, because I will have forgotten by the end of this session. But okay, so she asks a very, very important question. What is the distinction or the difference between probiotics and prebiotics? I think the best place to start is the difference between antibiotics and probiotics, because that's basically where the words come from. Anti means anti-life, biotic means life-producing, and antibiotics. Kill both the good and the bad microbes in our body. You know, obviously the intention when we take an antibiotic when we're sick is to just kill the germs. That's not the way it works. It kills a lot of things. And one of the things that people need to understand is if you have taken antibiotics, even just one round of antibiotics in the last 3 years, then that puts you at risk for having a microbiome that is completely out of balance. Now, we did a session on the microbiome diet several sessions ago, and we talked a lot about the fact that there are 90 trillion microbes that live in our intestines, primarily the end of our large intestine, that has a dramatic effect on our overall health and well-being, our mood, our brain function, immune function, all sorts of different things are controlled, coordinated, influenced by all of these microbes that live inside our intestines. And if you take a round of antibiotics, you run the risk of wiping out the balance of that microbiome. And so a lot of people have a microbiome that is out of balance. They may have an overgrowth of a certain strain of microbes, maybe that causes them to have a candida infection, or crave sugar, or it may affect their emotions and cause anxiety and depression. But there's a very significant balance that has to take place in the intestines, and antibiotics will wipe that out. So will stress, so will sugar, so will refined food, so will a whole lot of things. We talked in that session about chlorinated water will mess up our intestines and our microbiome. Well, one of the things that are so important in restoring normal balance in the intestines from the use of antibiotics or anything that causes it imbalance is probiotic foods. And most people know that probiotics are foods that contain healthy microbes and bacteria, foods like yogurt and kefir and beet kvass and sauerkraut that has not been pasteurized. Yeah, your fermented foods, and there are literally hundreds and hundreds of them. You can make your own pickles, and you know, we had fermented carrots, pickled carrots tonight for dinner, and these are foods that contain healthy enzymes and microbes that will restore balance. And these are foods that we need to be eating every single day. Plain yogurts and kefir. You don't have to eat all of this list of foods every day, but we ought to be eating. You know, Dr. Mercola, a few weeks ago in his blog, he has a recipe for kraut, just that's essentially the exact same recipe for kraut that we use. It's nothing more than cabbage and sea salt and about 2 weeks of those two in a jar, and you've got great sauerkraut. He had his kraut tested for its probiotic content, and in 2 forkfuls of his kraut, which is made the same way as we make our kraut, there was as many probiotics as is in an entire bottle of store-bought probiotics. That was huge. So one jar, which probably cost $5 or so to make, gave you the probiotic content of a whole bottle of, probably a case, because 2 forkfuls was the equivalent of a whole bottle of probiotics. And so anyway, probiotics are these foods. Oh gosh, can you think of others? Kombucha tea, beet kvass, pickles, anything that you could ferment. Just the list is almost is almost endless. And really, healthy societies, they say that people have been fermenting foods probably even longer than we've had fire to cook food. It's pretty amazing. So that's the difference between antibiotics and probiotics. Now, Lacey's question is, what's the difference between prebiotics and probiotics? Because prebiotics are that not a lot of people have talked about prebiotics for very long. People have been eating prebiotics for since the beginning of time. They just didn't know it. So the important question is, what is a prebiotic? A prebiotic. Now, a prebiotic is essentially a food, or it's specifically the fiber in food that we can't digest, but serves as fertilizer or food for the healthy bacteria and the microbes inside our gut. So if you think of prebiotics as the fertilizer, the compost, the food for those microbes, then that's basically what it is. And this foods that contain a lot of inulin, chicory, asparagus, all of your cruciferous vegetables, onions, garlic. Did I say chicory? Okay, well, it's still on the list. Yeah, it's a purple. We didn't know this the last. We did this the last time when we talked about the microbiome, and we also looked up not globe artichoke, which is not necessarily high in probiotics, but one of the biggest prebiotic food containing food is Jerusalem artichoke, which we had, that's what we had to look up. We didn't know what a Jerusalem artichoke was. It looks kind of like ginger root, and I'm not real sure how you cook it or eat it. We should really try to find that out. But that's basically the distinction between prebiotics and probiotics. Arguably, people need to eat a lot of foods containing the prebiotics. It's basically your foods with fiber. So all your cruciferous vegetables and this Jerusalem artichoke. There's all sorts of different foods that will help restore balance and integrity of the gut lining, because it serves and acts as food or fertilizer for the probiotics.
Okay.
Well, I suppose that is true. I mean, if you just think of a garden, and you need fertilizer, you need compost, you need, if you try to prepare your garden, be that a flower garden or a vegetable garden, with soil that's depleted of nutrients, like most of our commercial food is grown in, you understand then the benefit of really working in compost and things like that, natural fertilizer. I'm certainly not advocating a bunch of chemical pesticides and fertilizers, but you kind of get that feel for the purpose of compost is to restore that rich, nutrient dense matter to the soil, and that's basically the purpose of of prebiotics. Here's a list of some others, because in addition to what we said,
prebiotics.
Grains, legumes, the cruciferous vegetables, I said that. That means broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, kale, radish, rutabaga. So, you know, kimchi is a food that you're not going to eat because it's very, very spicy. But that would be loaded with all of those prebiotics in addition to the krauts and things that we eat. So anyway, that's kind of the distinction between prebiotics and probiotics. Anything, we have to recognize that most of us have issues with our gut. We have leaky gut syndrome and indigestion and a variety of issues with our intestines. And it's not so much just that we may get gas or bloating or something like that. As we said in the session on the microbiome diet, and we talked a lot about how just everyone is talking about gut-brain health and gut health as it relates to our immune system, our emotions, and so many different things. And so certainly a principle of functional medicine or functional health is to optimize function of the gastrointestinal system. And you know, that's basically done by getting rid of the things that are bad for the gut, sugar, refined foods, things of that nature, and restoring healthy foods. So, you know, we talked about a lot today. We talked about those five sets of foods that J.G. Virgin said would increase your metabolism and aid in fat burning. That was lemon. So have some lemon water first thing in the morning, either some warm lemon water or put lemon in it and that's good. Cinnamon, which we put in our coffee, balances your blood sugar. Coconut kefir water or any other flavor of kefir. That was what she, I don't know if I even said that one. Yeah, I think I did because I was talking about the dairy kefir at that point, and which made the list as well. But she also promoted the coconut kefir water. Kavita is a brand that makes a coconut kefir water. It's awesome. Now they have a variety of flavors, mango and all sorts of things, but the coconut one specifically only has 2 grams of sugar in it. Some of the others have up to 8 per serving. Well, they have the mojito version, and that's really good. Okay, so then there was also the cayenne pepper, the coconut milk, but you know, and then we started talking about different pre and probiotic foods that we consume on a daily basis, whether that's our homemade kraut or pickled carrots and all sorts of different things, yogurt in our shake. You know, the best place to get a lot of this stuff is to put it in your shake, you know, yogurt or kefir or stuff like that. So anyway, any other questions, comments? I think that answers Lacey's question about the difference between prebiotics and probiotics. And basically, the bottom line is we got to eat more vegetables and foods that contain fiber.
And not just any store-bought
vegetables, but good organic, if you can get locally grown organic. All of that is best. You know, here's a note that you kind of bring up, the idea of organic versus inorganic. If I had to buy commercial vegetables that I was going to make, I was going to ferment, I was going to turn into kraut or pickled carrots or pickled pickles or cucumbers, I guess those what those are. If I could get organic, that would be ideal. And interestingly enough, if they were filthy dirty, I might run them under the sink real quick or something like that. But the idea when you're fermenting foods is you need and want all of that bacteria. So it kind of sounds gross that you're not going to wash those vegetables significantly. But the whole premise is we need those healthy bacteria. And I've got to believe that during the fermentation process, they're going to become clean in such a way that you're not going to have to worry about your eating germs. Now, if you're buying commercial grade, then you want to wash off any of the pesticides and things like that that still might be on there. And you certainly don't want hunks of dirt, but but you know what? I'm not so sure that that's exactly the case either, because I was listening to a podcast the other day, and, you know, traditional people maybe didn't have access to just water every time they wanted to eat a root, and, you know, they probably ate a lot of dirt, and you know, there you can buy probiotics now that are basically just capsules containing dirt, because dirt's just loaded with these healthy bacteria. It's Yeah.
Because it clung to everything and it wiped it clean and it was just as good as
detergent. Yeah, by and large, I think people need to reassess their understanding of dirt and germs and microbes and things like that, even to the extent that people are using these hand sanitizers and things like nobody's business, and it has its effect. Now, you know, that becomes popular when you get some MRSA or something like that that goes through, and everybody's germophobic. But the reality is that you know, our health is dependent upon a balance of microbes and our relationship between germs. It's like when kids are born, and a little kid will put all this anything in his mouth, and you know that's gross to us, and so we immediately want to. You know, no, yeah, exactly. But the reality is that as the child's collecting germs, their immune system is having to defeat those germs, or, you know, defeat or use, as we've talked about, 90% of the cells in our body are microbes, and only 10% are actually Scott and Karen cells. So, anyway, that's, I think we've kind of had a fine discussion on how antibiotics can mess up our microbiome, probiotics can restore our microbiome, and prebiotics can restore our probiotics, or feed or fertilize or make those healthy. Well, any closing thoughts, any parting things to say? Nope.
Bye.
Okay, well, hey, folks, go to Thrive Market, and if you wouldn't mind, go through drscottlittle.com or karenlittle.me, because we have a link there, and we would love to share Thrive Market to you. You know, we got a package a couple of weeks ago, and we've got another package that's on its way, and what was so cool the last time we opened up that package was every single thing that we bought was individually wrapped and protected. And then what was the name of the gal who had packaged it? She wrote her name. Thanks for the order. I don't know.
Oh, shoot, I don't remember.
Well, it's okay. That was a few weeks ago. But anyway, it was awful nice to get. What was also cool is we got something, some what were those chocolate chips?
We got some Stevia sweetened chocolate chips.
Okay.
And those came. So we placed the order on, it was like Saturday or Sunday. So we knew they weren't going to ship out until Monday.
Yeah.
But they shipped on Monday, and we had them by Wednesday, and they had been packaged in a container that had an ice pack in it. Mm-hmm. So by the time they got to us, they weren't melted.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, so Thrive Market is an awesome concept where all of the non-perishable healthy things that you might get at other stores for full retail price will come to your door for 35%, 40%, even up to 50% off of the list price. It's a kind of a health food store meets Costco or something like that. It's a membership. You join for a year, and then you can buy everything that they have, 4,000 some items at 35 to 50% off.
And I describe it as it's like shopping inside of your
Your healthy grocery store.
You still go out and you use local stores for
produce and
your meats, your, you know, and you know, things like that. But you use Thrive for all of the non-perishable aisle shopping.
Absolutely. Well, folks, go out and get yourself some Jerusalem artichoke and figure out what to do with that. Get some, oh, jicama, that was another one. That was the one that we had to look up, the Mexican potato. Oh, carrots, cruciferous vegetables, all sorts of different things. Go feed your microbiome and it will be happy, 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 as Phil Robertson might say. Well, friend, thank you so much for listening to Your Great Life Game Plan, where we say the secret to a great life is to figure out how to have a great day, a great week, a great year. Just repeat that over and over and over again. One thing that you can do every single day to improve your overall health and quality of life is to consume healthy probiotics and prebiotics. Both come in a capsule form or in a supplement form, but it's great just to get as many of these different foods in your diet. Prebiotics and probiotics, just really focus on restoring optimal health to the gut. It's essential for optimal health and wellness. Well, for my beautiful wife, Karen, who we said had raspberry-colored hair, I am Dr. Scott Little, drscottlittle.com, karenlittle.me. Thank you so much for joining us. Tune in next time.